Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote, Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware. Because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard about near-death experiences? Would you like to learn more about NDE? That's the acronym for near-death experiences. Tell me, have you ever wanted to know how to develop a vision for your life? Can you imagine creating your own reality? Wouldn't that be lovely? It sounds like it might be easier said than done. Tell me, do you know what it means to be still? Do you know what it means to hear yourself thinking? Have you ever heard about a wonderful book called Back from Heaven's Front Porch? Or better yet, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful? And are you ready to learn the five principles to create a fulfilling life? If you can answer yes, or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place, and I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today, I will be introducing you to my guest. He is a success coach extraordinaire, and he will provide us with some wonderful, informative, and inspirational lessons and some really, really great advice. I am pleased to announce that this show is now live on Talk4 Media and syndicated on iHeartRadio and Blog Talk Radio. We are archived 24/7 for your listening pleasure. Also, LinkedIn announced that my profile was one of the top 5% most viewed last year. Now, let me tell you a little bit about my guest today. He is an author and a speaker who believes it's our philosophy of life and our principles that allow us to create happy and fulfilling lives. My guest brings his exceptional interpersonal skills and enthusiasm to help people really understand themselves and create a powerful vision for living a happy and fulfilling life. His passion and energy for this is rooted in his own journey of development. Born and raised in a big loving family outside Philly, he had an easy life until a tragic accident left his friend dead, and he, having spent some time in another place that he believes was heaven. Since then, my guest has distilled his philosophy of living a happy and fulfilling life into five principles, which he calls Jackrabbit. He used the five principles of Jackrabbit as the basis of his thought-provoking, humorous, and inspirational talks. I had the pleasure of reading his book this past week, Back from Heaven's Front Door, and I'm thrilled to welcome to the show today Danny Bader. Hi, Danny. How are you doing?
Hello, January. Thank you for that introduction.
I'm doing great.
How are you?
I'm wonderful, and I'm really wonderful having spent some time reading your book. What an amazing book. How long did it take you to write this book?
It probably took me about 8 years, January, until I got focused on it, and then it took me about a year and a half.
Okay.
So I began it many times, and it was something that I thought about doing and really wasn't engaged in the focus and the action of doing it. So once I got that, about a year and a half.
Mm-hmm. Share with my listeners what prompted this book, this tragic accident where you lost a dear friend and where you had a NDE experience.
Yeah, sure. I had when I was 28 years of age, I was working in a construction situation, and my friend and I were lowering a ladder, a metal ladder, and We looked at the electric lines, and we thought we'd miss it. We did not miss it, and mm-hmm. that electric line had about 8,000 to 10,000 volts in it.
Wow.
And what happened is it came down the ladder, and the electricity went into both of our bodies, and my friend was killed that day. And I was, too. I believe that I crossed over and spent some time in a very warm, dark, loving place. Well, I believe I was in the presence of God, and then it came back.
Okay.
So the book is about a young man named Jake that tries to figure things out when he's back, because he really doesn't want to be back, and he's got some stuff going on that he has to deal with. So that was the premise for the book. You know, I've told people my story many, many times, and oftentimes people would say, you should write a book about that. It might help some folks.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the motivation for it, the inspiration for it.
When you had this experience and crossed over, so to speak, which is what happened to you,
mm-hmm.
how did you feel about coming back? Did you want to stay there, or were you happy to be back on this side?
Yeah, no, obviously when I came back initially, there was just, it was almost as if my soul or my energy was put back into my body, and I woke up, and, my one friend was working on his brother. They were brothers.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of, in the moment, got up and went over and did CPR and tried to revive him.
Mm-hmm.
When I was there in that, as the way I described it, it was a dark, loving, peaceful place,
mm-hmm.
kind of
mm-hmm.
floating, and
mm-hmm.
having a communication with God, but it wasn't words. And I knew I had no anxiety. I wasn't scared. It was just, the greatest love that I've ever experienced, even more so than anything on this world. So when I came back and dealt with the terror of the day
mm-hmm.
and then the week or so, I wasn't even considering that. But then once I started to process everything that happened to me, there was a big part of me that didn't want to be here.
Sure.
A lot of people out there supporting me, trying to get me back engaged, and it was just tough. I didn't want to be here.
Right.
My mom would often say, it's like you're living to die again.
Uh-huh.
And I said, it was a beautiful place.
A lot of people talk about survivor's guilt. Did you have any of that after this horrific accident?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I had a tremendous amount of that, depression
uh-huh.
and everything that comes with that. Not
okay.
feeling real good about myself and it's not a really good place. And
mm-hmm.
certainly not letting anybody else in as much as I should have to kind of help me and support me.
Well, reading your book, it was such an interesting journey that you were on. What made you write it as fictional versus a nonfiction account of what you went through?
Yeah, it was just the process, I think, January. I started to write it, and, first person, I wrote it a lot of different ways. And this is the first book I wrote. I just couldn't get into the creative place that I needed to. And I was
uh-huh.
talking with one woman, and she said, why don't you just write a story? I mean, just make up somebody that's you and, base the whole thing on what happened to you. As soon as I started that, I made up young Jake and I gave him a name and
uh-huh.
started to make up other people, it was just much easier for me to engage
uh-huh.
and to try to get out some of my thoughts and messages that I wanted to convey to the readers through different people and dialogues.
Yeah. I've never written fiction, so I'm always into nonfiction, but it sounds like it's an interesting process, and once you go with it, it just takes on a life of its own, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure was for me. It sure was. And I had, I had some great editors as well that I'm really thankful for. Sue and Harry helped me out because I had the story, but they really helped me kind of tighten it up. It was always funny. They would send back edits and, have just big X's through stuff. And you've often heard of authors or self-promoting have experienced it. They're like, oh my gosh, I wrote that. We have to take it out. And, so I learned, that it just wasn't moving the story forward. But after you write, it's so hard to
uh-huh.
edit what you wrote sometimes and take it out. It's so humbling.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a slow process. There's being a writer, it's a difficult process, but it's a process by which you find a lot of answers for yourself. Don't you agree?
You sure do. And especially in this situation, it was very, cathartic for me, kind of cleansing as I went through. I certainly cried many times as I was trying to write different parts of the book.
Yeah.
Recalling those emotions. So I think it was really a good process for me to go through.
Yeah. You write so lovingly about your mother, and actually you write lovingly about everyone's support from the family and friends. Was your mother shocked when you came up with writing a book?
No, I had talked to her about the idea for many times, and she would read little pieces of it.
Uh-huh.
And she thought it was great. Now, of course, I grew up six brothers, a sister, mom and dad, so everybody has their opinion then, right?
Yeah.
Pictures and titles and covers and people's names and all of that. So they were very supportive of the process. They've all enjoyed reading it.
Oh, good.
It was tough for them too, because it was kind of bringing up things that they were there and they kind of went through.
Mm-hmm. Now let's talk a little bit about Back from Heaven's Front Porch. What a terrific title. How did you come up with that title?
I was working with a publisher, and I actually came up with it before with the help of my oldest brother, Paul. We were at a barbecue, I guess it was a couple of years ago, maybe 4 years ago or so. And, we were just talking about everything. And I told him, as we discussed the story, and even back when I had the accident, I said I felt like there was further for me to go on that journey, where I was connecting with God and energy. And he laughed and he said, well, maybe they just stopped you on Heaven's Front Porch. They didn't let you in all the way. And we joked about it. And then years later, when I started, to write it and use the title, I told him, he's like, I said that. And I said, you sure did. So
well,
that's kind of where it came from.
That's a great title. And I loved reading your book. And thank you for sending it to me. The only suggestion I have for your book is when you do the next edition, I think on the back, we need to have a small picture of you included, because you are such an attractive young author. I think all your fans would love to see what you look like. Let's talk a little bit about your five principles for creating a happy and fulfilling life. What would number one be?
Yeah, well, the first one, and they're not really in any number, but the one that I would put at the top of that list, I guess, is to develop vision and then create reality. So it's in my mind, when I talk about principles, principles for me is just a really strong belief, an absolute fact. So as I was in that depressed place trying to get better, and once I shifted, I'm like, all right, I got to figure this out. How can I get back to being engaged and being happy and create some fulfilling events in my life and those things? So what was lacking for me, that I had no vision. I wasn't looking to the future at all. I was only going backwards. I was blaming myself, life sucks, it was my fault, he should be here, all of that kind of stuff. So vision is really the ability for us to imagine something that's not real yet.
Mm-hmm.
When I work with people, usually when we're coaching or whatever, they're talking to you, they're talking to a coach, and you're familiar with this, because they want something to be different.
Yeah.
Whether it's health, wealth, relationships, careers, any of those things. So the first one is really to get clear on what that vision looks like. I'll often say to people, if I meet you in 6 months or a year, and they say, hey, how you doing, Danny? I haven't seen you in a little while. Mm-hmm. And I say to you, great, how you doing? How's life? And you say, it's wonderful. What would you say? So you really try to take them into the future and start describing that reality that they want to create. And then the key in the middle, as in all things, is the action, right? There's many people that think about a better place in their life, a vision, but they're just not taking the action. And I suffered from that a whole lot. I got to coach myself. There's many reasons we can talk ourselves out of action,
Well, I know so many people have that dilemma. They are wishful, but they don't get off the couch and get up and do what they need to do. And it's a difficult thing to do. We're going to take a break and hear from my sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about hitting rock bottom, because you describe rock bottom in your book so vividly. We're going to talk about that when we come back with Danny Bader, the author of Back from Heaven's Front Porch.
Second time around can be better. Second timers try harder. Looking to have a rewarding second marriage, any marriage, read Successful Second Marriages by Patricia Bubash. She interviews a variety of couples that have succeeded in their second attempt. Each story reflects that the second marriages can be tough going, yet be the best of the best. Learn from these couples who share their intimate stories, how they struggled with difficulty and have thrived. Stories such as, "Our kids drove us apart. We separated 5 times in 4 years. 4 months into our marriage, my 85-year-old father-in-law came to live with us. 1 year into our marriage, I was diagnosed legally blind. Death of my eldest child brought grief, depression into our new marriage." Successful Second Marriages is encouraging, hopeful, inspiring. Available on Amazon.com in book form and ebook. Read Pat's musings at www.successfulsecondmarriages.com.
Nicholas Hazel is a senior member of the Association of Applied and Therapeutic Humor and author of Laughter, the Drug of Choice. Scientific research is discovering that our bodies only hurt when we don't laugh. For anyone interested in a laugh-out-loud collection of medical terms and poetical music, often at the expense of health professionals' love and life, Laughter, the Drug of Choice, is just what the doctor ordered.
Welcome back with my wonderful guest, Danny Bader, and we're talking about his fantastic book. Also, I wanted to talk a little bit, Danny, about what you went through. You have a chapter called Rock Bottom is a Hell of a Place. And in your book, you share Jake's suicidal thoughts. Could you elaborate on that?
Yeah. You know, when I came back and just tried to process everything, I was very much in a place of blame, that it was mm-hmm. my fault. You know, my mm-hmm. friend and I, as we were lowering the ladder, there were two places to be. And I was in one place, and I said something to him, you know, hurry up, whatever. And he said, I'm going to put my tool belt away, and I said, I'm going to grab a glass of water. So I left and grabbed a glass of water. As I did that, he took the other position, which turns out was not the good position to be in. So a lot of blame, you know, a lot of depression, you know, drinking for all the wrong reasons, a little bit of drugs. Yeah, just that spiral that so many people go into. You know, and the thought of, you know, not being here, it was too hard, too much blame, too much guilt.
Too much, yeah.
You know, so certainly entertained those thoughts. You know, thankfully they never got as strong as they could get, but just having them was really scary, you know?
Mm-hmm. Now, share with my listeners what it's actually like. What memories do you have of being electrocuted?
Yeah, the memory that I have is still very vivid. It seems mm-hmm. electricity hit me. I, you know, in a conscious second, I thought to myself I was either shot or there was like a nuclear explosion or something because my whole body just surged in a way I never felt before. But then January, I was very calm.
Uh-huh.
I knew that I was crossing over and
dying.
Really?
Uh-huh.
So I saw my buddy on the roof once he heard the commotion, you know, the ladder hit and all. He turned around. He was finishing up on the roof.
Mm-hmm.
So he turned around and he was coming down the ladder, you know, and I was out and I saw that and I was yelling to him, you know, get your brother, yelling his name.
Uh-huh.
And then I just felt this pulling away, you know, just, I didn't hover over myself too long.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember hovering at all. I saw mm-hmm. the scene and then I pulled away.
Mm-hmm.
And as I did, it was just the communion that mm-hmm. I call it and that I believed my whole life is that, you know, God is energy, God is love, and we'll, mm-hmm. we have a piece of that, and we'll get back to that. You know, we'll be united. So I didn't see the white light.
Uh-huh.
You know, I didn't see any deceased relatives or anything that other people
yeah.
have to worry about.
Uh-huh.
It was just, you know, my soul, my spiritual energy was going somewhere.
Now, after an experience like that, Danny, so many of my guests have shared with us that they no longer fear death because having crossed over and finding such ultimate peace and happiness that they're not afraid of dying. Do you feel that way now?
I do. Yeah, I do, you know, to a degree. You know, I said
mm-hmm.
I was given a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the impact is, you know, I still, you know, if I'm driving a car and there's an accident or I'm sliding on ice or whatever, I'm still going to have anxiety.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
I'm not looking forward to dying. I'm enjoying my life and my family and my kids and my wife and everything. But, no, I do know. You know, I know that when our bodies stop, you know, there's a piece of us that keeps going. So I just believe I was given that gift, a little glimpse over there.
Yeah.
And I think the world would be a hell of a better place if everybody had that little glimpse. You know, it kind of sounds morbid, but,
yeah,
you know, you come back knowing that this is, yeah, it's a great life. I love it. We got a lot of things we want to do and make money and all that kind of good stuff. But there's bigger reason. You know, so if you can do all that with love in your heart and show up and make the world a better place, then that's what we need. You know, and that's what I try to do every day.
Sure.
Fail, but I try to show up every day with that, you know.
Well, you have to keep.
Lead with love. And lead with love.
You have to keep trying. Now, we talked about the five principles, and the first one was vision. And you touched briefly on creating reality. Could you elaborate a little more about that? Now, when you created your vision, did you write it down? I mean, I know you wrote a book, but did you formally write it down for yourself?
Yes. Yes, that's a behavior that I do every year now. So I write, and I'll offer this to folks out there, you know, if they're familiar with vision setting or gaining some clarity on it. What I'll do is I'll write a letter to myself dated next year, so it'll be December 31st of 14. In that letter, you know, I think last year's was maybe seven paragraphs, you know, page and a half.
Wow.
And what I'll do is just predict, you know, it's almost, dear Danny, you had a wonderful 2013. And then I just start to lay out January, everything that made that a wonderful 2013.
Mm-hmm.
So my relationships with people, my relationship with God, the money that I wanted to make, the activity around the book,
mm-hmm.
you know, the races that I wanted to run, how much I wanted to weigh, you know, all those kinds of things. Because I take it and I put it into Outlook, you know, Microsoft Outlook is my organizer, you know, my plan and my calendar and all. And I put it into my calendar as an all-day event.
Okay.
It says Vision 2014. And then what happens is I set a reminder or a recurrence.
Uh-huh.
So that every 4 days, that shows up at the top of my calendar.
Oh, wow. That's
and
powerful.
And then most times, every 4 days, I read it.
Mm-hmm.
And I reflect and say, okay, wait a minute. I predicted that my relationships with these people were really strong.
Mm-hmm.
Is that indeed on course, or do I have to engage in some action this week or next week to move it forward?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I predicted that I was going to make this much this year. Am I on track for that, or what do I need to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
what actions are going to drive some more revenue or – So,
well,
yeah, it's a real powerful exercise, and it's fun, you know?
Yeah, what I like about it.
Just to imagine what you want, what do you want to create?
Yeah, what I like about it is that you're encouraging our listeners to be very specific, like as far as the amount of money, the weight loss, the relationships. You can't just sit there and say, oh, I want a better life, I want to be a better person. You have to really get down to the nuts and bolts, don't you?
Yes. Yes, and I believe that that's important because as we read that over and over again, then it starts to kind of settle. We're consciously reading it. I believe there's a residue that hangs in our unconscious,
mm-hmm.
you know, and our mind really likes completion. You know, it always likes to close those loops and things.
Sure.
So what happens is I just find that, you know, I'm always, once you get it into your unconscious mind, you're always looking for opportunities, you know, people, places, actions to take, you know, because we're always focusing. Right, the concentration of attention or energy on something. The question is, what are you focused on? So if most people don't even take the time to get clear on what they want to create, you're going to miss a lot of information in the world that could support you in creating that.
Yeah.
That is absolutely what I've found to be true, you know. But most people, on the other hand, and you know, I've been there, I don't go there too much, but most people are complaining about their situation. Versus, and I said, okay, what would it look like if you were really happy with this? Let's go to the other side of this.
Right.
You know, and some folks can go there. Others you really just got to work with, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they have to work with themselves. But it's great work.
Now, have you become a coach after writing this book? Are you actually coaching people to help them find their vision and create their realities?
Yeah, I do. I do some coaching. I've been doing that for years. I went to a great school out in Santa Barbara, the Hudson Institute. So I've been doing leadership, executive coaching, and some life coaching for, gosh, probably 10 years now.
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay,
yeah,
I really
enjoy it.
That's wonderful. You're into it.
Part of my vision is to get some television stuff happening here this year, where maybe we can take this message to a bigger stage.
Oh, that would be wonderful. And I know you're going to do it because you've created this vision. I can imagine it already. You know, we're going to take a break and hear from some sponsors. And when we come back, Danny is going to share his website information and share with us how you can contact him if you would like help creating your vision, your reality. Also, we're going to talk about the three other principles for creating a fulfilling life. We'll be right back with Danny Bader.
Pam Evans has been married and divorced four times and lived to tell the tale with honesty, humor, and a heartfelt message. Check out Pam's first book, Ring Exchange, Adventures of a Multiple Marrier, where she shares her hard-won lessons about behavior, emotions, relationships, and her marriage partner choices. Learn more about Pam's road less traveled and how she anticipates every day with joy and a sense of gratitude. Visit Pam's website at www.ring-exchange.com. Her book is available on Amazon.com, too. Everyone deserves a happy life. Life is supposed to be fun. Your life is supposed to feel good, and you're meant to feel happiness in your life and to satisfy your dreams. And you can. Because the only reason anyone wants anything or does anything is that they think they will feel better in the having of it or the doing of it. They think they will feel better in the experiencing of it. Coming soon, a website where you can learn more on how you can have the life you deserve at afeelgoodworld.com.
Welcome back with my guest, Danny Bader. I want everyone to know that Pat's and Nick's books are fantastic. They're wonderful books to give as a gift for anyone who, if you're looking for that hard-to-find gift for that certain special person. Danny, could you share with us now your website information and share where people can get your book and how they can contact you?
Sure, thanks. So the website is DannyBader.com. DannyBader. And there's a link there on the website where you can read the first two chapters of the book
okay.
So and get a feel for it if they're interested through this interview. So thank you for that, January. And I can email me through the website as well. The book's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You can actually grab it through my website as well. I'd sign it for you. So it's out there. You know, they can get it wherever they buy their books.
Well, I highly recommend the book, and I can honestly tell you that I got it. I couldn't put it down, and if you read two chapters, you're going to be hooked. Going back to the book a little bit, in the book, Jake travels out. He goes out to the west, to Utah, Montana. He heads out that direction. Have you yourself been there? Is this part of your travels, too?
I have, yeah. I've been to Moab, Utah. Years ago, I used to live in Aspen, Colorado.
Uh-huh.
And 1 year after the ski season was over, Buddy and I went down to Moab. So I had been there before, and it's a beautiful place. So as I started to think about, you know, this journey that Jake was going to be on and where could he go to get some stillness that I talk about is so important, you know, I used Moab as the setting. And yeah, I'll get back there for sure. They have a half marathon next October that I have my eye on.
Oh, wonderful. That's great. Let's go back to the five principles. What would the third principle be for our listeners?
Yeah, well, the first one, develop vision, create reality, is kind of a, it sounds like two, but it's really the one principle. The other four would be to be still, right?
Be
so really, really important for you to slow down, clear your mind, focus on your breathing, engage in some prayer or meditation, you know, kind of turn off all the stuff coming at us in the world. You know, the world does not encourage stillness, and I think it's just such a rich space to be. You know, there's so many emotions in that stillness that can inspire us, you know, whether we're letting some things go or we're starting to create some things. So I ask everybody, you know, just reflect. When are you really still? And it's not running, listening to music either. You know, when are you just really still, being with yourself, focusing on your breathing? I took a retreat in Montecito right before Christmas time, and it was just great 2 days of a lot of quiet and stillness. So that would be still.
And
the next one is know thyself. As Socrates said years ago, know your strength, know your talents, know your beliefs, your spiritual heritage. So I think it's really important for us as people to continue to know ourselves. You know, what works for us, what's not working, and where are some of these beliefs that have developed over the years for us, you know, through experience that are limiting us or holding us back.
Yeah.
And then, so be still, know thyself, seek support, very, very important.
Okay.
So how do we have a support network of people around us? What are the books that we read? What are the shows like yours that we listen to? So many ways to support ourselves. And then, of course, you know, you watch your own little voice in your head, too, because that's probably your biggest source of support. Just make sure that's dialed in. And then the last one is to evolve. So I practice the principle of evolve, to undergo continuous and gradual change. And I just always, every day, say, okay, what can I take from today?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what worked? What's going to make me better? How can I serve other people? You know, maybe what do I need to let go? So it's, mm-hmm. it's just having that mindset that we're always, you know, we're always growing. You know, there's a little story I tell real quick. When a kid comes home from school after first grade, first day in school, and he gets off the bus, and mom's really excited, and she says, well, what'd you learn at school today? I said, well, apparently not enough. I have to go back tomorrow. And that's us. Just go back into the world. Get some support. You know, have some forgiveness for yourself.
Uh-huh.
We're all gonna screw up. I know I did. I know I will. You know, you just forgive yourself and move on.
Now tell me, Danny, how do you start each day? Do you meditate? Do you run? Do you go for a walk? How do you begin your day? How do you begin to be still and know yourself?
Yeah, great. So usually every day when I wake up, as soon as I wake up, and I'm in a hotel in Dallas right now, I'll be working with a client down here tomorrow. As soon as I wake up, I usually lay in bed with a smile on my face.
Mm-hmm.
And I just focus on my breathing, and I am thankful. I thank God for what I have. You know, I hold a little image and the vision of the day and how I want that to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then most days I'll get up and get some exercise, you know, either a run or some weights or something. But I would encourage all the listeners tomorrow, just when you wake up, lay in bed with a smile on your face. You know, some people look and they go, oh, my gosh, that's crazy. I mean, people think you're nuts. And I'm like, well, nobody's going to see you, right? Or perhaps the other person you're sharing your bed with, but that's okay. Just try it. Because you know the power of that smile. I mean, physiologically, what it does for us is just great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's it. And I usually text my kids if I'm traveling and my wife to say hi, check in, you know?
Back then, I always go every morning. I take a walk. I take the dog for a walk, and it's a great opportunity to have that stillness and to just have the inspiration. And I think it's amazing when you quiet down and let yourself listen to yourself, the wonderful inspirations that you get. Don't you agree?
Oh, I do. Yeah. I do. And I think you live where, in Arizona?
Yeah,
beautiful state too. Just with the terrain. Yeah, I always say it's often in the absence of sound that we hear the most.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Right? And that's what we hear from ourselves, you know, inside.
Now, tell me a little bit about you call it the jackrabbit theory, and you share that in your book. Share with my listeners what you want them to do for them to consider a jackrabbit life.
Yeah, so jackrabbit for me is just, you know, these five principles, I certainly didn't invent them, but it was just, you know, here's a guy that had an experience and kind of put together a model that said, hey, this works for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll offer it to the world and hopefully people will take it. Or they go, well, I kind of do this, but I don't call it that. I'm like, great. You know, as long as you're engaged in something that's driving you in a good direction, you know, towards your vision. So I call it jackrabbit, though, because of all the animals in the animal kingdom. When I first started my little company, my coaching company, I was looking for animals and all. And the jackrabbit of all the animals has really good vision, January, because its eyes sit high up on its head and very far back.
Okay.
So it can essentially see its whole environment, behind it, above it, sideways, frontwards. And when I saw that, I thought, you know, I like the desert and jackrabbits and all that. I thought, that's pretty cool. That's the metaphor that I'm looking for, right? For us as individuals, people, how can we be aware of everything that's going on?
Yeah.
In our lives, right? Really celebrate what's working and you know, put some energy on the other stuff that we want to shift. Yeah, so I just call it JCK or BBT for
sure. I love it. It's fantastic. And I think if everyone can go to your website, they'll get a chance to experience the jackrabbit experience. Some of your characters in your book I grew to become so fond of, and they were so special. A little complex, a lot of character there. Did you model these characters on people you know in real life, or did you just create them the way you wanted them to be?
Yeah, I kind of just created them, but anytime I was doing that, what I found, January, I'm always thinking about different people in my life that I've experienced, you know, that trying to take some of their qualities and put them into these people. So it was, nobody is exactly based on anybody else in my life. Well, with the exception of the priest that I meet for dinner on my way down to North Carolina. I do have a real, real dear priest friend. And you know, he, in the book, is kind of you know, it's pretty true to him. And my friend Joe, my best friend Joe, is mentioned in there as well as Joe.
Uh-huh.
It just felt right to keep his name like that. But most times I would just reflect on the characters and say, okay, who do I know in life, you know, that I really enjoy? They've supported me over the years. I'm inspired by them. You know, they lead with a lot of love. And then I just weave in some of those characteristics, you know, sometimes physical, sometimes, you know, in their dialogue or their approach.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun.
When you look back on your own life, who, I know you admire your mom and dad and your siblings so much, but when you look back on your early, early mentors, is there anyone that you could specifically talk about that influenced you?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, mostly my, you know, we have a real tight family.
Uh-huh.
And there's just a lot of inspiration there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you just, really it's just people in life. I don't, you know, there haven't been any celebrities or anything that have really inspired me. We all have our story, you know, so I'm inspired by the stories. But I do work for Make-A-Wish Foundation, you know, and I go out and grant wishes. I go out and meet the family and just met a young man last week, you know, just beat cancer. They're not even 20 years of age yet.
Wow.
I'm tremendously inspired by his attitude and his energy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I'm inspired a lot by the little kids that are just battling something they shouldn't be battling, you know?
What are your thoughts about, I always share this with my listeners, that it's very important to find passion in your life, because once you have passion, what you're doing doesn't seem like work, because it isn't. It's something you enjoy. When you look at your life, what would you say you are passionate about now?
I'm passionate about relationships, you know, and surrounding yourself with really cool people and being supported and supporting them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm passionate about the coaching and the writing I do and trying to be a vessel, you know, to other people to inspire them perhaps and get them, you know, moving in the right direction.
Uh-huh.
So that's really what it is, you know, passionate about, you know, having some really good, strong relationships. And, you know, my work is just to get people to think about their life in a way that makes them happier and more fulfilled. That's all I want to do through my writing and through my speaking. And, you know, I'm holding that vision for some type of television activity. So, yeah, just to get people to slow down and really move in the right direction.
Okay, wonderful. We're going to move in the right direction of our sponsors, and then when we come back, I want to have you share with us the biggest challenge you face with becoming a writer and writing this book, and who you admire as a writer, and if you have another book coming for us soon. We'll be right back with Danny Bader. Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems. People who have fearlessly shared their stories, their struggles, and their successes. People who have priceless personalities. In my new book, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, I am honored to be able to share with you people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, starting over, self-esteem, and workplace issues. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and even astonish you. You will adore getting to meet them at Amazon.com. My book is now available. 2-for-1, paperback and Kindle editions.
Do you want to learn how to live into your dreams? One Door Closes, Overcoming Adversity by Following Your Dreams. The new book by Tom Ingracia and Jared Kredemski captures the thought-provoking stories of 16 people from all walks of life who have triumphed over adversity to achieve their goals. Plus, you'll get 10 self-assessment tools to design your own blueprint for success.
Definitely.
Unlock your true potential. Fulfill your dreams. Be inspired. One Door Closes is available from Amazon.com.
Welcome back with my guest, Danny Bader, the author of Back from Heaven's Front Porch. Now, Danny, when you started to write this book, what was the biggest challenge you faced when you sat down and created this reality for yourself?
Yeah. Well, there was the challenge of never having written a book.
Okay.
Just the mechanics of it. But my biggest challenge was, you know, myself and my self-talk. And, you know, you've never written a book. It's so hard to get it published. You know, what if people don't like it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it was just all that, where I would just make, you know, 10 excuses to do something other than sit down and write. You know, we talked about taking that action.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of that. And then, you know, I was still holding on to some stuff from the accident, you know. Here I'm writing this story, and I know it was going to bring some pain, especially to my buddy's widow and his children.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of fighting through that. And, you know, thankfully they're wonderful people. And, you know, I had a great talk with them right about when the book came out. We went up, we had pizza, and
mm-hmm.
we chatted. And the kids, you know, kids, obviously, it's 20 years ago, so they're all young adults now, and they're doing great.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You know, and his widow's just wonderfully committed herself to those kids. So, you know, it was just all the self-limiting stuff.
Uh-huh.
You know, but once you get into it, it's a fun process. You know, if anybody is out there thinking about writing, don't take yourself too seriously, you know. It's
okay.
There's a great book, too. I don't know if you ever read called Bird by Bird by Anne Lamott.
No, I haven't. Sounds great.
Bird by Bird. She's a very clever writer, and it's just so funny. And she just, you know, it's great. So if anybody's struggling with writing, get that book Bird by Bird. It's a good one. Short, easy read.
Okay. That's great advice, because we have so many aspiring writers. Actually, I had breakfast this morning with someone who is starting a book, and I was happy to give him some help and direction and inspiration. There's never been an easier time to write a book than there is now with all of the resources available on the internet. Don't you agree, Danny?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, January. There's, you know, the internet's just great with all of its information.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have the whole self-publishing world and
yes.
you know, a lot of software that's out there.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I would say, but if folks are struggling, you know, a lot of times when I talk to other writers, you know, they do have that, well, gosh, what if I don't sell any kind of thing? What if people don't like it?
Yeah.
You know, we kind of always go back there. And I remember a coach from the Hudson Institute, my friend out there who runs that, he said to me, Danny, how about if you're not writing the book for people that don't want it?
Oh, uh-huh.
And as soon as she did that, it just shifted my mindset.
It's
double negative. And I'm like, you're right. I'm not writing it for those people.
Right.
So
absolutely.
It was, a lot of ways for us to kind of shift our thinking.
Uh-huh. Now, are you working on another book, or what's happening with your career, and what can we look for in the future? I know we'll see you on television, but what else are you writing?
Thank you, January. Yeah, I do look forward to that. Perhaps we'll play around with golf someday. That would be cool, too. I've started two books, and I'm just in a really kind of loose process. So I wouldn't say I'm writing one now, but I've kind of gone in two directions, and they're both continuations of Back from Heaven's Front Porch.
Okay.
So one takes Sammy, you know, the young lady there, to L.A. So she moved back out of the desert, and it's going to kind of be her life as she moves forward. Another one goes back earlier and explores the life of Brendan and who he is and how did he get to be this
wise man
in the desert, you know, in Moab.
Uh-huh.
So I've just kind of fooling with both of those, you know, and I'll get more focused on it this year for sure. It's part of my vision. And then I've got two friends writing a screenplay for it out in L.A., so I'm really excited about that. I think it'd be a terrific movie.
Oh, fantastic. It would be a great movie. You know, it's so difficult to tell people who want to write a book that it's just a matter of sitting down and doing it, because everyone has their self-doubts. When you look back on your saga, your career, do you have anything that you regret or you wish you could do over?
You know, yeah, and it's tough. We all get into those words. I try not to, you know, what would I do differently?
What?
I think I took a lot of jobs early in life. I had quite a few jobs,
mm-hmm.
and I would take them, and in my heart and in my soul, I knew it wasn't right for me.
Uh-huh.
You know, I sold commercial insurance for a year, and, you know, somebody said, oh, you'll do great, you know, could you make some money and all.
Yeah.
So I think it was just not being true to myself and saying, hey, what will I be? And I think it always, what was strong for me was to be a teacher.
Oh, okay.
I thought about being a teacher. I thought about being a priest, and I could, you know, coach basketball and teach high school, and and I always suppressed that. And then once I got older and I moved into corporate America, you know, and I moved towards the training department where I could do workshops and help people develop. And that's really my passion.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of doing that teaching. Not that I have the answers. I just hopefully ask some questions and help them. Right. Well, they have all the answers. You and I just need to ask the right questions of them, right, January?
Yes, I agree. That's such good advice because the answers are all within you. If you can be still long enough